So, I don't know, maybe I was being unfair, but I was walking down the street.
Just walking down the street.
No, and I saw someone walking towards me, and he was eating a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. They walk and eat. I'm not a fan of that, but I have to do it sometimes.
Sometimes you've got to do it.
I'm not a fan.
Why not a fan?
Because you don't enjoy it.
No, because you're not in the moment, are
I like
you?
Eating my car. Very happy about that.
Yeah.
Very happy about that. Anyway,
but he had a sandwich. It was in the bag, and he was eating the sandwich in a bag with two, but he had two hands on it.
Like a hamburger.
Yeah. I'm going, surely a sandwich is a one-handed requirement.
Was it a big salad chicken sandwich?
No, it didn't look like
it. Like ham cheese.
Well, that's a good point, because if it was like a...
Well, sometimes sandwiches, like a big salad chicken sandwich is like a hamburger.
And they fall up. Yeah, you've got to negotiate.
Especially you've got beetroot or grated cheese in there. You don't want that on your pants, do you?
Well, that's
he's walking.
That's the bad thing about in a car is when you...
I know.
If you don't use the bag, it goes into your lap and then on your you look like...
Terrible. The worst thing for me is when I'm going to do a TV or radio show, which isn't that often, but occasionally, or a gig, which is more often.
Yeah.
And I'll get someone on the way, and then I'll get out of the car, and there'll be crap on me
everywhere.
Oh,
crap everywhere.
Like, what the hell?
All over you've got to go and vacuum the car. But yeah, because I would have thought a sandwich is a
one-handed job.
So what are the things that you do one-handed?
Hello.
No, but...
I drive my car a lot one-handed.
I do too.
And my wife tells me off, come on, two hands on the wheel. Two hands on the wheel.
Hot dog?
Hot dog's one hand. Savlaki's almost two hands.
It is.
Hamburger's two hands?
You reckon hamburger's two hands?
Well, not the ones that we have after this podcast, but when you get a proper fish and chip shop hamburger.
It's a two-hand, yeah.
But like a Big Mac or a cheeseburger is a one. Oh, Big Mac's almost two hands, but generally those McDonald's-type burgers are so squished together, they can be one hand, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
They're pretty one hand. But you get a McFlurry, you need two hands for that baby. Because that's a spoon. It's a sundae. It's like a sundae.
Yeah, and you always... Because where was it the other day? And I lifted I lifted the plate off the table and then started... Is that a bad...
That's how Asians eat, though. That's how the Chinese eat. Because they get the bowl close.
Oh, no, it was yum cha.
Yeah, well, that's fine in their culture.
So you
fine.
Can lift up with the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go with the thing and then... Yeah.
The chopsticks, yeah.
But it was fried rice, which is, I find... How can you eat fried rice with chopsticks?
I've had fried rice.
Seriously.
I had fried rice 2 days in a row for lunch. Can you believe that?
But have you had fried rice? Have you ever eaten fried rice with a spoon?
Yeah, that's how I ate it the other day. That's how I ate it yesterday with a spoon.
So when you go Chinese, you can ask for a spoon. It's not a good look.
No, but I went to a Chinese restaurant yesterday with Adam's wife, friend of the show, and they just have them on the table. They just expect Westerners... And I like that because it's not embarrassing. They're there. If they're there in a stand with the chopsticks. They're there for you. Just have them.
Yeah.
Have them.
I just think you... I mean, it's a bit of a
cop out?
Well, no. Yeah, well, it's just
or like... Or eating with chopsticks is a bit of a wank.
Well, it is a little bit. But some people are really good at it. And some people, I get cramped sometimes.
Yeah. Like my kids always try and do it, and then they have problems, and then they stick it. They just stick the chopstick in the bit of chicken, like a skewer.
Then.
Yeah, it's like just get a fork. Nothing to be embarrassed, but you didn't grow up eating food with chopsticks. Those guys at the next table grow up eating it like that. Obviously, they know how to do it. It's like playing tennis or something, isn't it?
So anyway, I was assessing as I was walking into the city to go to the dentist.
Very good to walk into the city.
I kept parking.
You park and you walk, don't you? Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, very good.
And I was thinking about things you do with one hand. And I don't want to be unsavory, but I went to a public toilet one day, and the guy next to me went to the toilet, urinal, standing up, used one hand, then went to wash his hand and just washed the one hand.
Yeah.
What? Is that quite common?
I've done that.
I say, you wash the one hand.
I've done that. I remember seeing it at a country urinal when I was quite young. And the old guy next to me looked at me and went, oh, one-handed job, hey? Because he had both hands down there.
Well, see, I'm not a two-handed guy when it comes... Sorry, ladies, if you're listening.
You can urinate with one hand.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Easy.
But I always think that if you... I just thought it was weird that you would only wash one hand.
It is weird because you got to turn the tap on with...
Because he'd put the thing on, just ran his hand under the... Because nowadays, taps just come on when you put your hand
there. Yeah, I know.
And then he just hits the... You know, the... What do you do that joke you do about the blower?
The Dyson... I thought they were a urinal. I walked in, I saw a row of five. I thought they were a urinal. A bit of splashback.
And what about, sorry girls, again, doing urinal jokes, but what about when you go to the, you have the lineup of urinals, you know, the basin ones, and there's one there for the
kids.
Do you make a joke at that?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, that's for people with really long pee-pees, that one.
That's a dad joke, but it's, you know, it's on topic. Sorry.
All right, here comes the music.
Sorry about that. I'm just shutting it down. Fair enough.
Sam doesn't like that kind of talk.
Well, I just, but it is interesting talking about one-handedness.
Yeah, it is. Because there must be people that operate with one hand because they don't have another hand. They got cut off in an accident or something. Imagine that.
I used to go to the Jack Newton Classic, which is a golf tournament with Jack Newton, who's only got one arm.
He lost in an aeroplane.
He walked the wrong way getting in an aeroplane.
And lost horrific his arm.
In the propeller.
Yeah. Anyway, when we were up there, we were talking about it, and then the next morning we all decided to try and do everything one-handed, as in wash your teeth, put your watch on.
Breakfast buffet. It'd be very hard doing a breakfast buffet with one arm.
Really hard.
Yeah, really hard.
Yeah, and you don't want to look like when you're doing it because you're at the Jack Newton Classic.
Yeah.
I can see you.
Bit insensitive, you guys, walking around with one arm.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Somehow Related. Thanks for tuning in.
Good on you.
Well done. And it's a show that we enjoy. We probably get as much out of it as hopefully you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's very zen.
Very zen existence.
Because
we get a lot out of it. To be honest, we also get a lot of money. People don't realize every time we sit down in these, $10,000. You get 10, I get 5.
Independently wealthy. This is, yeah.
That's and a I joke.
Don't get donate any of mine to charity.
Yeah, we don't get any money.
We get zero.
But anyway, that's why we love doing it. So, and we are going to do a live version soon for people in Melbourne. They'll be coming up soon. We've got to set the date, though.
Yeah, we've got to set the date. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Oh, that's interesting to do a live one.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, because, just to press a bit of flesh and meet the...
Well, I've checked with Festival Hall. They've got Sunday, October
Sydney,
19th.
The Opera House?
We'll do Festival Hall in Melbourne first, and we'll go to Opera House, Adelaide Convention Centre.
Something open air, maybe.
Open air Perth.
Open air.
And the Brisbane open air stage they have on the river there, where they do not all play. We'll do that one. And Darwin, sorry.
Okay.
We're not going to probably make it.
Somehow Related, listeners. I want to hear you say, yeah.
Now, we're going to get a band to support us. We'll get like Noise Works to come on first, one of the crowd, then we'll come on and just talk like this.
Have you ever done comedy spots before?
Oh, it's bands? Terrible.
It's the worst time to do a spot, isn't it? I told that story. I was at My Music Bowl doing a spot before someone. And in the background, I get a... One, two. Gosh, anyway.
And the guy goes like this, stretch. And it's like, the worst. Comedy and bands.
Yeah.
They don't really mix.
Okay.
All right, so let's go to topics.
From Sam.
Mosquitoes and the foundation of the United Kingdom.
Wow.
I've got to say off the bat.
Mosquitoes, a bit annoying.
Oh, I was going to say this is really hard.
United Kingdom, a bit annoying.
Where do you want to start? Mosquitoes. They're the perfect disease carrier.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. They didn't realise that for a long time, that mosquitoes were causing so much disease.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So they would land on you.
Yeah.
You don't just catch it through your mouth. They go, what I've got, I'm going to inject right into you. Bang. Into your bloodstream.
I know they got a little needle, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's amazing, really, the mosquitoes. Oh, do you get... I just remember when I lived in a flat with Kieran, we would get mosquitoes coming in, and I just remember turning on the lights at 1 a.m, and I had to... try and find it to whack it with a bit of paper because she's someone that attracts mosquitoes. I rarely get mosquito bites, but there's certain people that
love mosquitoes. Yeah,
and so then you'd hear that, that
and then stop.
Your mosquito's very good, do it again, and then it would stop, and then you wouldn't see it for 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden, it'd be in front of your face, like just flying right past you,
and then you do that clap your hands in the air, and then you look at your hand to see if there's a black mark on your hand. Didn't get him. Yeah.
And then sometimes you get them and you see all the blood, you're like, oh my God, look at that.
Which is the female?
Is it male and female?
Hang on, I think the females are the ones that carry, if they're going to carry anything, like your dengue fever, like your malaria.
Oh, They just
the poor old males. They're just they're not the females. They're the one. I think the females need the blood in terms of something. Maybe you should ask them why they why they are getting blood for the
reason
for the what would be in
well,
the
they're
blood.
Just annoying. Whatever. Oh, I don't know what purpose they serve, but I mean, I interviewed a guy called the Fly Guy once, an academic. Not. Yeah, the Fly Guy. And fly, see, I'm just, this is on ABC Radio. You've done ABC Radio. You end up interviewing people, you know, about, you know, flies or chairs or, you interview everyone.
It's a pretty easy name to give yourself though, isn't it?
The Fly Guy. He's an academic, expert on flies.
Yeah, what am I going to call myself? Why don't you call yourself the Fly Man? No.
The Fly Guy.
Fly Dude.
Anyway, Fly Guy. I'm hanging shit on flies, and he's like, flies do serve some purpose. They pollinate stuff. They're like bees.
Oh, really?
So here's me going, what is the purpose of flies? He goes, well, they pollinate stuff. He goes, you wouldn't have chocolate if it wasn't for flies, apparently. Anyway, so
is that why they're attracted to
poo? Why weren't you there when I was interviewing him on ABC Radio? Anyway, maybe mosquitoes serve some greater purpose that we don't know
in
about.
Nature, yeah.
In nature, but... for us, I think they're really annoying, and particularly if you're sitting outside and having a nice time in the backyard, then all of a sudden you
and there comes oh, yeah, just on dust, there comes the time you go, oh, now we've got to go inside. And
my partner would occasionally light those coils.
Yeah.
Do they work?
I don't know. Well, I go to Bali a lot.
Are there mosquitoes there?
Oh, hello. That's malaria. That's dengue fever.
Ooh.
So I've been to...
Do you sleep in a tent?
Well, you want some of the tips?
Yeah,
they don't like moving air, so you sleep under a fan. They won't, yeah.
Oh, they don't like moving air.
They'll congregate in dark areas.
Hmm.
So if you...
So you got to sleep under the fan with the lights on.
Yeah, and you
that's great,
put some DEET on. I don't like putting that DEET on. That just seems toxic to me. There's like levels of DEET you can put on that are just would kill
But if you go to
out.
Africa or something like that, you've got to sleep under that net basically, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. And then you get... And then if you see one, then it's that... thing, it could be a female, and see going, where is it? Oh, it's landed. I don't know where it's landed. There it is. And then you smack each other, thinking that, yeah. What else?
So you've really got to be on guard in Bali, do you?
Like, oh, well, no.
That and the rabbit dogs and the monkeys. Gee, that sounds awesome, Bali.
What? Yeah, it's more when you go out a little bit, I think, because around the main islands, it's not too bad. And I must admit, last time I was there, there weren't too many Mozzies around. Mm. But if you go out a bit sometimes, I know I went to one, I went to Zumba.
you did curves and then you did Zumba.
No, I went to what's the name of the island I went to?
Sumatra.
Zumba.
Zumba.
Zumba sounds like Zumba, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
You know, Zumba also sounds like Fatty Boomba.
One of the great observations.
And on that island, they would about once every few days, we'd be out surfing. You look back at the resort, and a truck would drive through. Like fumigating the whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it would be, they'd say to you, look, best if you just stay out of your room between 2 and 3 because we're going to fumigate. And you got to wonder what that stuff is.
Oh, my God. DDT.
Yeah. You got to wonder. But
Agent
that certainly, Agent Orange. Around that resort, there wasn't too many mozzies.
No, well, they're fumigating it.
But,
they're dropping bombs.
But what about, but you know, like your Ross River fever, too.
Oh, is that also mosquito?
Yeah, and that's around, I know, around kangaroos and stuff. And that's, I don't know whether it's because of global warming, but it's come as far south as Victoria.
Oh, no.
I had a friend who caught Ross River.
Virus.
Because they lived near kangaroos, near the Anglesey Caravan Park.
Oh, my.
Anglesey Golf Course, a lot of kangaroos.
Kangaroos up there. Really?
Yeah. So,
imagine getting the Ross River virus down here.
Yeah.
We're nowhere near Ross River. Where is Ross River?
Who's Ross?
It's like a conversation the other week about getting a disease named after you. Poor old Ross River.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Mosquitoes aren't cute. You know how, like, even flies, because of Louis the Fly, have been portrayed as cute over the years?
Yeah.
You know, ladybugs are cute. Frogs are cute. But mosquitoes aren't cute.
I've never seen a fly in a Disney cartoon movie.
No, that's a good point. I've never seen a mosquito either.
Mosquito seems to, yeah, they just have that, they got the 6 legs, four legs.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that long injection.
Yeah.
And those big eyes.
Hmm. It's like they're like a monster, a little monster.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, here's what you should check at home next time you're out. Just look out for bits of water that you've left.
Yes, don't leave bits of water around because that's where the mosquitoes congregate, don't they? I've heard that before.
In the dark.
In the dark.
They love a bit of dark and they love a bit of water.
Okay.
So
get your fan on.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know if I can say anything more about mosquitoes. Should we move on to United Kingdom? The formation of the United Kingdom.
So is it... She did state the formation of the United Kingdom.
Well, so what happened then? Because I've just been to England.
Oh, God.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay. Japan's out.
I went to Adrian's Wall, which was the wall the Romans built to stop the Scots coming down.
Is that like Trump's Wall?
Yeah, it's like Trump's Wall. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was Trump's Wall of that generation.
Really? How high was it?
Oh, it's quite high, but now it's not as high. Now parts of it are 4 or 5 foot at the height because all the farmers stole the stones for...
Well, of course
their land, for their building or whatever. Yeah. It's still impressive, though. You just go in the middle of nowhere and there's this wall with little sort of forts.
So you just look at the wall.
Oh, it's great. Stand on the wall. Kids walk along the wall. It's pretty.
Someone there telling you a story with...
Oh, they have museums and stuff near there.
Yeah, near the wall.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the wall. Near the wall. The wall. They have wall museums.
Wall museums. Yeah, wall museums.
Yeah. Wall, W-A. Also, I went to the Wall Museum in Berlin.
And your kids enjoyed going
to
see
that.
They love that. They enjoyed the wall.
Yeah, loved it.
Really?
Your kids are good. Well, they've read all about the Romans and stuff. So it's the Romans built the wall. They built the wall. Anyway, and so Scotland, the formation of the United Kingdom is when Scotland joined England.
But who did it come from? Did it come from I thought the Brits were going, hey, we're number one.
Well, you seen that movie with Margot Robbie in it called The Queen of Scots or whatever? It's a recent movie.
No.
And it's all about how the Scottish were... they all because Scotland had their own country basically with their own queen.
But so did Ireland, didn't it?
Yeah, Ireland did too.
And Wales.
Well, yeah, I'm not so sure about Wales.
I thought Wales went first to Britain.
I think they did. You're right.
What was next? It was either Scotland. I think
Scotland was next.
Next, and then Ireland. And that's why I had all the troubles in Ireland because they're coming and going. And Ireland, they're going. Hey, hang on.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah, back off, buddy. So it was. It all generated from the Brits going...
They wanted Scotland, basically. They wanted Scotland.
For what?
Well, it must be economic reasons or just to have...
Because it's there.
Yeah, because it's there.
But I wonder what formed Scotland in the first place because the landmass, it's all the same landmass.
It is very isolated, though. When you go, even now when you drive up there, there's a lot of space between...
Yeah, there is.
There's just so much space. And you know, when you think England's a small country, we drove around there. There's a lot of farming going on up there.
Still, you would sort of go, if you were the... You'd sort of go... Well, we owned it bit down there. So we owned up.
Yeah, so we owned up there as well.
They didn't fight wars over it.
Yeah, they were wars. Haven't you seen, Mel Gibson?
That's Braveheart.
Yeah, that's about the Scottish.
Stupid mistake.
You can take my, what does he say? Oh, no, he has blue makeup on. Something like that. You can take my country. Something like that. But anyway, can you do a Scottish accent?
Is that
Scottish, isn't it? That's not how you make pottage. That's Scottish.
I did that on Fast Forward. That it's not porridge.
Oh, you did that ad.
I did that.
That's
did.
Not how you make porridge.
Yeah, no, it's not porridge.
That's it. Yeah.
I was up in Scotland and we had that. Because you know what I watched the other day? Mm-hmm. A little bit of
Braveheart.
American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the famous line from that? Stick to the roads. Don't go into the moors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we had the same thing. We were up in Scotland. Driving around, and we drove into a town. We're up near Loch Ness, and we're trying to get accommodation. Well, you'll not get accommodation here tonight.
Yeah.
What?
The town's full.
Yeah, go into the next town. Stick to the roads. Don't go into the moors. Because remember that film was about two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we could have that as thinking music. Because remember when – do you remember the scene?
Great movie.
Remember the scene when they're walking through the paddock, basically? And they hear a noise, and then one guy falls over. And the guy goes over to pick him up.
Oh, he's a werewolf?
He gets the shit ripped out of him by a werewolf.
That's right. Oh.
Then they shoot the werewolf, and the werewolf turns back into an old man.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good movie. John Landis directed it.
Oh, right. And I went and watched the part where he's in his lounge room at home, and he doesn't feel well.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
And then he turns it, and the best part is when his face grows, and all the hair, and looks at his hand, and it goes...
That's right. Fantastic. I remember loving that movie.
It was, you know, was that early 80s?
Yeah, it was 80s. Maybe mid. You might be right. And the other Scottish, I was telling a Scottish girl the other day who'd never heard of it, Local Hero.
Oh, that's a great film.
Remember Local Hero?
I mean, he was coming to buy the mountains.
Burt Lancaster.
And
a small coastal town for an oil company.
Yeah, and pay him off, wasn't he? Yeah, and then he falls in love with them and he's moving there. Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah. The American executive turns up.
Mark Knopfler did the music, did
great,
he?
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack. And I'm not a Dire Straits fan, but that is a great soundtrack.
Is there a famous scene from that? We can't play
the same
that.
Guy also. No, I don't know if there's a famous scene. The same guy also did Gregory's Girl. Remember Gregory's
Girl?
Yeah,
that's a period of film that was had a really good sentiment, didn't it? Yeah.
Gregory's Girl was about a teenage.
80s?
Yeah, 80s. Yeah. Very early 80s. A teenage boy growing up in Scotland. And just had some great quotes. Me and my friends used to watch it when we were about 18 and 17. And we used to quote related. It constantly.
Yeah.
There's something definitely in the air tonight.
Was it? And it was obviously about a girl.
Yeah, he was obsessed by a girl who was playing soccer, and Gregory's Girl, yeah, and had the lead singer from Altered Images and a Scottish pop band in it as well, Claire Grogan, who was gorgeous.
Yeah,
we got it, and then one of the boys, the boys were just so well portrayed as that daggy 16, 17 year old.
Yeah, they write that so well.
Yeah, and they go. And one was obsessed by Venezuela. We've got to go to Venezuela, Caracas, 10 girls to every guy. I'm going to Caracas, 10 girls to every guy.
The dream.
Take it off.
The dream. So what we're saying is that the formation of the UK.
I believe that is just to be, Scotland joining England.
So when a formation where it was started when? What, the 1500s?
Oh, yeah, something like that. I can't remember.
I think there were century bloody gaps between them. I think.
Well, if you watch Vikings like I do, you realise that England was made up of several little countries. So there was York and they all fought amongst themselves. Essex fought the people from York. And
right.
Then they became united, but they still had Scotland up there.
United Kingdom.
Yeah, and because, Scotland was very proud people. They didn't want to merge with the British.
So what's Great Britain? Is Great Britain United Kingdom?
Yeah, I assume so. Great Britain, I think, includes Scotland now when you say Great Britain.
So there's the United Kingdom. How is the United Kingdom different from Great Britain? Is that the same thing?
Well, I don't think Northern Ireland's considered part of Great Britain, is
right,
it?
Right, no, I wouldn't have thought so. But,
United Kingdom, Northern Ireland.
Would be all of them together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bit of an arrogant
move. Great Britain.
A name.
We're great.
Kingdom.
Great Kingdom. Kingdom. Great
Kingdom. Kingdom.
You've been to England. It's good, but it's not great. I would say it's great. Slightly depressed. Kingdom.
I don't mind London.
Oh, I love London. London's awesome.
Whenever I'm in London, I always feel quite at home.
You like it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, Governor.
Are you right?
Twice the size of Melbourne, London. There you go, Governor.
I was watching there's a show on it. It's just been on SBS called The 2000 Years of History of London.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
What joke did I make when I turned it on to watch it?
2000 Years History of London. No.
It's going to be a long.
Does your partner just roll her eyes and make jokes like that?
No. Well, she normally does. She normally rolls over and goes to sleep, but last night she watched it.
Was it good?
Well, you got the great, you got the fire, the great, the
plague.
The plague. You got the World War One, the bombing, the World War Two.
Terrible.
You go,
they've been through a lot.
Look, okay, United Kingdom, fair enough. It's been through a hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to, so easy to shoot over from Germany. Not that far. It's like you're in Queensland. You might nip down to southern New South Wales and do a bit of bombing and nip back again.
Yeah, they're very close.
I think it was bombed like 50,
a lot of times.
Yeah. And they all had little, they all gave out little bomb shelters.
Yeah.
The Anderson bomb shelter.
Oh, yeah, I saw one of them when I was there.
Oh, God.
You can get in it and sit in that if you
want. Well, it was in the backyard, was it?
No, it was in the museum.
That's the best. That is the best historical tour I've ever done, which is the war rooms.
Oh, yeah, Churchill's war rooms.
Did you do that one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Did you do it with audio? I did.
No, you did the audio. Yeah. Oh, I think we did have audio.
Yeah, of course you did. So competitive.
Oh, so competitive with my tours.
The audio was great because you had little sound effects of the bombings and...
We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall never surrender.
It's
interesting. It's a good place to go to.
Oh, that's
this
that's
time great. In London, though, I said I wanted to see... I'd done all those big ones and I wanted to go somewhere a bit unusual. And this guy who was a history teacher at school said... Go to the surgical museum. There's an actual
oh, that's
there's
good.
A surgery in a belfry in an old church, which was actually an operating surgery theatre. And they've just left it the way it was.
Mm.
And so we travel all the way across London to get there on a Monday where it's open between 12 and 3, very limited hours.
Mm.
And then it's just like a handwritten note on the door. Surgery not open today, sorry. It's like...
I think you went to a real surgery. Yeah, maybe.
Bulk bill. Went to bulk bill.
Did you do... I did the... Is it the Whitechapel murders? The Jack the Ripper? Were they the Whitechapel murders?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do
it. It's really interesting because it takes you on a walk and it shows you where... But the weird part is that it's a sort of combination of old London, new London. So you go down alleyways, but then you're next to an office block where you're going... Well, it's not. I'm not really getting into the atmosphere of what's going on here because you've got a bloke over there, you know,
on his phone,
having a smoke outside the building.
It is amazing.
Look, okay, I don't know. I've got an inkling.
Got a bit of a feeling. Okay, all right. Well, let's have some thinking. Music.
What do you think? Something from what was it? Not Gregory's Girl. What was the other local hero or something from? American Wolf in London.
That's a good one. Do that.
Which one do you want? The Wolf in where he's attacked, or do you want? Because obviously on the podcast it's quite visual, but I reckon we'll go with when they're walking through the.
Hmm.
I think they didn't stick to the rose. They went onto the moors.
The moors.
And then this is what happened.
It's moving. It's circling us. Ah, fuck. What's the plan?
Plan?
Let's just keep walking. That's right, a lovely stroll on the moors. Tra-la-la-la-la. Isn't this fun?
It's in front of us. You think it's a dog? Oh, shit, what is it?
Yeah. It's a sheepdog or something. Come on, turn slowly, let's walk away.
Nice doggy. Good boy.
Come on, Jack, walk away.
Walking away, yes, here we are, walking away.
You see anything?
No.
Sounds far away.
Not far enough, come on.
Jack!
What?
Where are we going?
I don't know, I'll tell you when we get there.
Okay, because... Oh!
You really scared me, you shithead.
Are you gonna help me up or what?
Oh, quite scary.
I remember that being really scary when I first saw that.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Would that be around about the same time as The Exorcist? Yeah. That would have been the number
within
one.
Within 5 years of
that
each
was
other.
The number one most scary film.
Okay, well, guess. What are you going to say?
I know of late... London's, maybe because of global warming, their mosquito numbers, if you like, have increased. And I'm wondering whether they went through a similar period back in the 1500s, 1600s, where they thought, oh, hang on, we need somewhere to go to get away from these mosquitoes. We need lands further north.
Oh, wow.
So maybe they went, but then they've gone, hang on, we don't own them, so let's go knock on the door and take them over. It's a big call to take over a country because what
did you get?
Well, okay.
Sorry, tell us again. What were you here?
What little sand play things?
That's not yummy. Bordage. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, well, that's all right. Well, I was going to say a similar thing. I reckon that there was something happened. Maybe there was an outbreak of a mosquito-borne disease
that
in Scotland that caused.
In Scotland, of course. No,
well, that would have, because they can kill a big, you know, like the plague killed a lot of people. Maybe there was some version of that in Scotland that forced them to
go south. No, but I don't understand.
Because they need the economic backing and stuff of London and all that stuff to survive.
Oh, I see. So they came under threat.
I don't know. It's a hard one. It seems like mosquitoes are the formation
so obscure.
Of the United Kingdom.
I mean, you just don't associate mosquitoes with that part of the world.
Sam's talking about. She's been on
pills. That is her job. Obviously, if it's too easy, it's not worth putting up. And she goes on her journey.
She's had a big weekend somewhere.
She's gone, I'm going to get these guys this time.
I reckon some fan of the show has approached her at a rave. I don't know if raves still exist. And she's going, hey, you're the Sam from that. I've got a one for you. And then he's told her this story. And
she hasn't got it right.
No, she hasn't got it right.
Over the loud music, she didn't... Over the thump thump music, Yeah, but Sam wouldn't do recreational drugs, surely.
No, but she might be there, like, DJing. Surely this career with us has spun off into a few celebrity appearances.
Sam, do you do any recreational drugs?
Glenn, look at me. What does my face say?
Yep, didn't think
that would be the answer. All right. Yep, fair enough.
Okay, well, Sam, tell us the answer.
In 1698, five ships set sail from Scotland. The ships landed on the Darien region of Panama, where the Company of Scotland wanted to create a trading hub and become a global economic power. Scots from Parliament all the way down to poor farmers help finance the expedition. It has been estimated that between one quarter and one half of all the money in circulation in Scotland at the time was involved in the gamble. It turned into a catastrophe. Colonialists were bitten by mosquitoes, became sick with yellow fever and malaria. They began dying off at a great rate in Panama. The overwhelming debt from the failure drove the reluctant Scottish to at last accept a unification offer from England. The mosquitoes of Darien region led to the creation of Great Britain as we know it today.
Wow, well, you were basically right that they were...
But I didn't know it happened in Panama.
But hang on, where's Panama?
That's in South America. You know Panama Canal? As Bon Jovi who sang, Panama... Saying that was Bon Jovi, wasn't it?
I was obviously a question on, you know, Specs, because otherwise you wouldn't know it.
Oh, but I don't like that sort of music. But it was either Bon Jovi or anyway, whatever.
Anyhow,
Van Halen.
I didn't hear that properly. So they were taking over Panama.
No, they set up a colony there.
Oh, so send some people over there. Go over there, set yourselves up.
And this is going to be an economic boom for Scotland. We are going to be an even more successful country.
And they got attacked by Bonzies.
They all got...
And it sucked all the money out of Scotland.
Yeah. And so they were forced to accept a deal with England.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. Mosquitoes. Cause that. It's amazing, isn't it? Imagine setting off on that. But they, you know what? I've read about people that said they didn't know that the mosquitoes were causing the disease. People had theories it was the air or the water.
Yeah.
But it was that zzz, you know, that thing causing the disease.
Mm.
Imagine that's setting off on that boat to think you're going to save Scotland by going to Panama. It is kind of a lot.
Well, that's basically what they did with Australia.
Yeah.
So Scotland has gone, we're going to do what the Brits are doing.
Yeah. We're going to Panama.
And what happened to our people when they came here?
The initial settlement of Perth was a complete disaster. What? You read about that when
the Dutch come first? Who came first?
Allegedly. Yeah, they discovered it, but they didn't settle.
So there's crews on past. Keep on going.
Yeah, they even reckon the Vikings came near Australia. Those
bloody Vikings. You love your Vikings.
I love Vikings. You're right.
Is that why you wore that outfit in today?
I've got a horny horn and helmet.
So anyway, very interesting.
Interesting, Sam.
So well next done. Time...
So that guy at the rave party was onto something, whoever you were talking to, Sam.
If you were at a campfire...
Oh, right, what a great story.
Sitting around and you go... You're slapping yourself going, oh, bloody mozzies. And you're spraying on a bit of... What's your spray of choice?
I don't have one.
So you wouldn't put on Air Guard.
Mum and Dad have got... Oh, it would be Air Guard back in the day, yeah.
Because this is what I don't understand. You put on fly spray or Air Guard or whatever, a fly's going, I ate a bit of shit for lunch. Yeah. Why would Air Guard put me
Surely
off?
Surely they're getting immune to it by now.
Surely. You'd think Surely. So. But anyway, if you're sitting around the campfire, you can say to people, oh, did you know?
Did you know mosquitoes were the cause?
Oh, it's getting late. Dave's telling stories about... About the mosquitoes.
Boring. When was the last time you sat around a campfire, though, you reckon?
Well, most received Russell Coit.
Do you set up a fire at the end of the night and sometimes? Or?
Well, it does remind me of a story that I don't know whether I should tell it.
Well, yeah, tell us. You're on a podcast. You're not on...
But it's not... I started off talking about men going to urinals. I'm going to finish off with something inappropriate about Russell Coit. Okay. We were sitting around the campfire one night. We were shooting on a guy's property, and he was a lovely chap. And his wife came over late because we were doing a night shoot. Came over and just got out of the car and wandered over. I was sitting next to the fire on a camp roll. You know what a camp roll is?
Like a bed thing that you roll out, like a swag?
Yeah, a canvas that's rolled up.
Oh, yeah.
And he got out of the car and
Bush
went,
Tucker, man.
Hello, everybody. I just brought a bottle of red and a couple of glasses, and I just thought we might say cheers and welcome you to the property and hope you have a wonderful shoot.
So he's a wealthy farmer.
Wealthy, okay, yeah. I didn't want to say
he
that.
He did the voice.
Yeah. Anyway, at that point, I accidentally...
Fell in the fire?
Farted really loudly. Oh. In the dark. So he's gone. Anyway, just wanted to welcome you all along. And then my fart just rang out because I was sitting on a canvas roll. Yeah. It came out like a PA system. And I then I just started laughing so much because it was just the... Everyone went quiet. It was because... And so, with that, but the good part was it gave me a bit of energy to go into the night. I had so much energy out there because I'd laughed so hard. Oh, it was so inappropriate. Anyway, look, I'm sorry to have started the podcast and ended on that. Can we in some ways.
Did it light the fire up? Was it one of those?
Let's not talk about that. That was a period of, we've all seen that on. Your kids would never have done that.
No, they've never done that. But I remember. People doing it on scout camps and stuff.
Yeah. It's terrific. A blue flame. It's a blue flame.
Horrific.
It does make you laugh.
But just seeing him do the setup is horrific. You know what I mean? Them standing over and bending over.
Hang on. Get the light.
And then
up.
Often they pull their pants down, so it's
dangerous.
It's just like
very dangerous thing to do.
Don't do it.
But it is hilarious.
Nothing funnier than a fart gag.
I thought we were going to raise the tone. Can we talk about flower arranging or something? Or
intellectual. We talked about intellectual stuff.
So we're allowed to sort of take the tone down. Oh, I hate to leave you on that note.
Oh, well.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.